Hi, this is the Scotsman from the Ale Evangelist Show, and you're listening to the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Hello?
Podcast of verbal narcissism for ugly journalists.
Hello, can I talk to Mr. David? Jay Bowman?
Approach and identify.
Hello?
It's important to me because our kids are literally dying at school, the one place they should be the safest, and it's not right, it needs to stop.
I don't think you really need to be a student to know this, it's just common sense. Like, we, you know, it's way too easy to you know, have access to guns, and I think we need to, you know, like, have stricter laws.
From the Pac Northwest studio of the Podcast 99 Network, located in beautiful downtown Silverdale, Washington, this is Plausibly Live, the Dave Bowman Show podcast. Now, here is your host, the submarine qualified, well-coffeed, rules-driven, elitist history buff, Dave Bowman.
Weapons calling you from Mr. Fire.
Permission to fire, con weapons out.
Hey, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today, most of them far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life and thought about the laws of gravity, protests, diplomats, missiles, flat earth, and humanity. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a while. Well, Ben and I got caught in a protest Saturday. It was an exercise in keeping my mouth shut. Houthis are shooting off ballistic missiles. Now, just where did a radical fringe group in Yemen get a hold of those, eh? Diplomats are expelled, and what does that mean? And the Earth is round. So why do some people think that it's flat? Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. The email is dave@thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, we're on the web, even the dark web. True, I've looked. Just look for the Dave Bowman Show on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and your preferred non-denominational search engine. E loqui cognitio, the greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It is the illusion of knowledge. I have no idea why YouTube is not working today. All I get is the spinning wheel of Windows death. It just sits there and does not connect. Got all the way to 99% and then just stopped. So radio side only today, which actually is easier for me. I don't know about you, but on my end, it's actually easier when I don't have to worry about that. So one less technical thing that I have to do. And it, like I said, it does make it a little bit easier to concentrate on, those things that I need to look at as opposed to the camera, which unfortunately tends to attract attention. I don't know if you knew that or not. Even people that are on camera, when they can see themselves on TV, like I can on YouTube, it becomes the focal of everything, and you forget what you're doing on other things, and kind of makes it hard sometimes to keep up with stuff. So how'd your Saturday go? Mine was insane. Ben decided he wanted to go to the YMCA. Now, this is not unusual. We like to go to the YMCA. Number one, they have a swimming pool, and Ben is in the process of learning to swim and likes to play in the pool. But number two, they have a wonderful inside play area that has climbing stuff and a small basketball court and playing court. And this is so much better than the park because, A, it's indoors, so I don't have to sit outside in the freezing cold temperatures and wind and rain and everything else that you get up here. And he can do all the stuff he does at a park. Plus, I get to sit at a nice table in a nice, comfortable chair. It's warm. There's Wi-Fi. There's power. It's so much better. So we headed out to the YMCA on Saturday, right around noon, which was probably the wrong time to do it. You know why, right? Of course we had one of the protests here. Of course we did. People showed up for the protest here in Kitsap County. They came to the mall, which is fairly close to the YMCA. In fact, you can't, from where I live, you could get to the YMCA without going by the mall, but why would you? You'd have to go 10 miles out of your way to do it. So we headed down the main drag, Silverdale Way, and in a town where I already hit every stoplight. This is, I am not kidding. I'm not making this up. This is God's honest truth. My wife will verify this. We have, I think, 7 stoplights from city limit to city limit in Silverdale. And every time I go into town, every single time, I hit every single stoplight. Every time. Do you follow what I'm saying here? This is not a case of, you know, Dave's weirdness or whatever. It's gotten to the point where I noticed it after about a month that I'd been here, and I started complaining about it. My wife started watching it because she thought it was silly. But, of course, I hit every light. So we head down into town. This is not a time for me to be bitching about my weirdness. But we headed into town, and, of course, we start stopping as soon as we get into town. So I'm thinking, well, this is standard because I hit every light. Only this time, it's taking longer than usual. And there's more cars in front of me. And I'm not sure what the heck is going on here. But again, eventually, it took us like, we're talking about a total length here of maybe 3 miles. That's 2.8 miles from my house to the YMCA. Okay? It took us probably close to 20 minutes. Because, number one, I hit every light. But number two, at every light, of course, the traffic was blocked by people who were supposedly only on the sidewalks. But for some reason, there was a heavy, heavy traffic. Like Christmas time traffic around the mall. People were stopping. They were honking. They were waving. They were flipping people off because, of course, we had the march for whatever the hell this was. People on the sidewalks with their idiotic signs that were surprisingly ill-informed. But really, who's surprised by that? 4-year-olds holding up signs, 4 or 5-year-old kids that can barely walk holding up signs with, you know, writing on them. There's no way that they wrote these signs. I'm not supposed to believe that this kid actually thinks this. This kid is worried, wondering why he can't stay at home and watch Paw Patrol. But no, you've got him bundled up out here in the cold and the wind to walk around the mall with a sign protesting guns. Some of the signs were, I thought, downright offensive. Some of them were just stupid. Some of them, occasionally there was one that I liked. I'll be honest with you, the one that I actually liked, and it wasn't at the Kitsap protest, it was at another protest I saw a picture of. It's the only one that I actually liked, because it was the only one I thought that, well, it reached back in history. For those of you that are old enough to remember this, there used to be posters everywhere, and I've had relatives that had this poster. And it was in that 1970s weird, I call it the lava script, the lava lamp script. War is not good for children and other living things. Remember that? And it had the peace sign. Well, this guy had a sign that said that. It had the same writing, the same peace sign on it. And it says, Trump is not good for children and other living things. I thought that was clever in the sense that he was drawing back to something that most of these people at this protest didn't remember. I, you know, kind of disagree with his philosophy there, but at the same time, I also understood that what he was probably the most truthful person I saw, because this was not an anti-gun protest by any stretch of the imagination. This was an anti-Trump protest disguised as an anti-gun protest, disguised as a it's for the children protest, which is something that I have come to really, really worry about. This whole thing about children, it's got to be for the children. Anyway, some of the signs said things like, ban assault rifles. Well, duh, they're already banned, you moron. You wouldn't know an assault rifle if you saw one. Everything was anti-NRA. The NRA is killing our kids. The NRA is doing this. The NRA, of course, none of this is factual. But facts don't matter when you're doing something like that. Facts are out the window, folks. We're gone. We are into the realm of emotion and feeling. You heard Alex there at the top of the hour was giving you the news. 69% of Americans, according to at least one poll, think that we should do that gun laws need to be tightened. Well, that's great. 69% of people think gun laws need to be tightened. Well, that should tell us something, right? That means something, doesn't it? Well, wait a minute. Did you know that a poll in 2017, so this was last year, a poll of Russians showed that after the anti-corruption protests that happened in 99 cities, the Levada Center survey showed that 38% of Russians supported protesters, and that 67%, there's that number, held Putin personally responsible for high-level corruption. 67% of Russians thought that Putin was personally responsible for this, and so they reelected him to be czar of all Russia by 73%. What does that tell us? It tells us that one of these two polls actually meant something, and the other one didn't. That's what it tells us. 69% of Americans are in favor of tightening gun laws. Yeah, 69% of the people that you asked at a protest are in favor of that. But if 69% of those people of America were truly in and honestly in favor of quote-unquote tightening gun laws, whatever the hell that means, today on the floor of the House, they would be introducing the Repeal the Second Amendment Act, and it would be passing within 7 years. That's not happening. Why isn't that happening? Because 69% of Americans do not, in fact, support, quote-unquote, tightening gun laws. Polls are meaningless. They always have been. I've said this before. I do not believe polls. I do not trust polls. I do not put my faith in polls. And especially after the last election, I won't do it. Mostly because they're misleading, for one thing. They are weighted. They are biased. And mostly in their reporting, you never see the raw data. So you don't know what that's. They cherry pick the data they want, and they put it on their way. And then they tell us that, well, see, we're the experts. We know everything that's going on. And the fact of the matter is that they don't. The national protest, of course, has raised all kinds of questions and comments. And I'm going to say some things here that maybe you disagree with. That's fine. I welcome disagreement. Area code 209-565-3283 is the text machine. You can email me, dave@thedavebowmanshow.com. Any of those things will get you a hold of me. You can comment on the Facebook, but I don't mind disagreement. You know, keep it civil. That's the important part. If you're going to call me names, I'll just delete you. But if you honestly disagree, that's fine. I'm going to say some things about these protests that you're not hearing a lot of from conservative chat. Number one is we just need to shut the hell up. This protest it's counterproductive for conservatives to criticize it. All that does is play into their hands. That's what they want us to do. They want us to go out on the air and scream and yell about David Hogg and skinhead lesbians and all this other. They want us to do that. That's what they are craving us doing that. They are craving me getting on the air here and talking about how mad I was about traffic being jammed up. That's what they want. Instead of just saying things like, well, that's your First Amendment right. The attacks on these people are, in my view, counterproductive. Because, again, I believe that's what they want. They want us to get into Twitter flame wars and Facebook flame wars. Because, again, that reduces the entire argument out of the arena of ideas and into the arena of the 140-character zinger. And I've been a conservative long enough to know that we're going to lose that every time. We're just not good at that. There's a few people who are. James Woods is one. But for the most part, conservatives, we suck at zingers. We suck at Twitter. We suck at social media. And we're terrible at flame wars. We're going to lose every time. So why even bother with that? Why not keep it in the arena of the ideas? And our response should be to approach this with ideas. Okay, you say ban assault weapons. Why do you say that? What is an assault weapon? Why do you think that this is... What do you think is going on here? Keep it in the arena of ideas. Why is there a Second Amendment? Why do you want to do away with this? And of course, I did notice that one of the things they kept saying over and over again on Saturday was, well, regulation does not impinge upon rights. Really? It doesn't? Let's talk about that. But every time we get into the personalization of this, it becomes an issue. Let's see. Buster says on the text machine, area code 209-565. I didn't sit and watch the protest coverage. I did watch snippets of it. I was looking at the signs, video screens, etc. wondered who was paying for all that. And I think it was the children. Well, no, duh, of course not. It was well organized. There's no two ways about that. And there was I want to get into that later. I want to talk about the mentality behind it. But while we're on this concept of attacking, we got to be careful about this. People, conservative radio and Facebook and Twitter and all that has been all over Hogg, David Hogg, all weekend for his mouth. Now, apparently, Mr. Hogg uses a word, a four-letter word that starts with the letter F and is spelled U-C-K. I can say the word because I'm not FCC controlled here, but, you know, in the interest of good taste, I shan't. And apparently everybody's upset with the fact that Hogg is using this. And the number one way of critiquing this and the number one way of criticizing this is by saying, why, his parents must be so proud. I listened to The Godfather for about 5 minutes this morning on the way to take Ben to school. And that's what he was saying. Oh, this guy's parents must be just terribly proud. We're missing. So this is what I'm talking about. We're playing right into their hands. Yes, his parents are proud of him. Get that through your head. This kid's parents are very proud of him. They are doing what they want him to do. For God's sakes, folks, where do you think he learned that language? Do you think he learned that language on the playground? Now maybe they did, but do you think that they learned to be comfortable using it in front of adults and media and a national audience on the playground? God, no, they learned that from their parents. Where do you think he got all this stuff? He's behaving exactly the way his parents taught him to behave. Of course they're proud of him. And every time we say, well, they must be really proud of him, what we're saying is, we're judging them as parents, which of course is what they want us to do, because then they can come back and say, see how those conservatives, they think they know everything about raising children. We're raising children that are socially active and conscious, and they're raising children who are repressed. See? Just ignore them. Back in the 60s, folks, I was there. Grandpa Dave coming at you again from the Podcast 99 studios. I was there. I remember the 17 and 18-year-olds chanting about the Vietnam War, the things that they had to say about Nixon and even a little bit of Johnson and some other folks, and they were right up there with one. Hogg's pretty lightweight compared to them. And we just basically acted shocked and ignored them. And yet, we seem hell-bent on giving him exactly what he wants, which is attention. This is what he wants, what he craves. This is what he is. He's an attention whore. And how do attention whores get attention? By doing things that are outrageous, by doing things that cause offense, by doing things that cause people to go, clutch my pearls, I've got the vapors. The fact that we're talking about it at all is bizarre. But we are. And we're focusing on the wrong things. Instead of focusing on the issues, the ideas behind these things. Hey, isn't it cool that you can use your First Amendment? How many of us said that to one of these protesters? Hey, and it's pretty cool that you can use your First Amendment right to protest the Second Amendment right that I have. Which one do you think is more important? Instead of engaging those conversations, we're wasting our time with, oh my God, he said a bad word. Well, I got news for you. I say bad words all the time. Do you know who the number one person lecturing me all the time is about my language? Ben. Ben will save me on a fairly regular basis. Dad, why do you say bad words? Well, I could explain to him the scientific research that shows that people who use bad word language are smarter than other people, and that's actual science. It's science, folks. Or I could do what I just do, and I just tell him, well, I was a sailor, and that's how we talk. He's 17, folks. He's 17. He went to this high school in Florida because apparently this high school in Florida, the Stone Marie Stoneman Park, whatever the hell it is known for its particular programs in the media and for preparing kids to deal with media. This kid wants to be in media, and he will be as soon as he graduates. He will be hired as a junior reporter, youth reporter, whatever we want to call it, for some left-leaning news organization, and he will continue to gain fame by behaving in a crazy, bizarre fashion, and eventually he will think he's untouchable because he's so famous, and he'll do something incredibly stupid, whatever that might be, and lo, how the mighty will fall. But in the meantime, just giving him attention is, that's what he wants. That's what he craves. That's what he needs. And his parents are just dandy with it. I guarantee you that. His parents will, I haven't seen them interviewed yet. That doesn't mean they haven't been, but I haven't seen the interview with them. But I guarantee you, if they were to be interviewed, that's what they would tell you. Oh, yeah, we are so proud of our son. He's leading the youth of America. Isn't it wonderful? We've given him such a sense of social justice and how he's taking that and growing America and making America great again by restoring values that we believe in. I guarantee you that's what they would say. I'm so sure of that I won't even bet on it because I feel like I'd just be taking your money. Just like the New York Times running an article this weekend hinting that the Austin bomber was a conservative. And you know how conservatives voted in the last election. And you know what that means. That means that he was enabled by Donald Trump, who is not good for children and other living things. Isn't that weird? I mean, it just, the whole thing is just bizarre. There was an article in my paper. Okay, so I actually have two papers. I have the Kitsap Sun, which is kind of, you know, covers the whole county. And then I have the North Kitsap Herald, which is the one that I actually read. I have a subscription to the Sun just because I feel like I have to. I don't like it. Their website is kludge. That's the best word I can come up with. Their website drives me nuts because when you go to the front page of their website, and you can go there and see what I'm talking about, kitsapsun.com, they have, like most newspapers, they have this of the Gannett variation. They have this front page thing where the stories flow right to left across the top of the screen, but it goes so fast you can't even read them. And so you got to go down to the bottom part where there's little tiny things and try to figure out which story you want to look at. It's not well organized. It's not well prepared. And there's just frankly not a lot of news on it. I actually have another subscription to the Seattle Times, but I got that because of the Mariners coverage. But anyway, my North Kitsap Herald, which comes out on Fridays, and they deliver it free to all the houses. So Friday morning, you can walk outside, and every house has this paper out in front of it in bag because it rains here. And usually by about 9 o'clock, I'm the only one that's picked it up. And by Thursday of the next week, you'll notice, well, Wednesday is trash day, so you'll notice that they all get picked up on Wednesday and thrown in the recycle bin. I think I'm the only one that reads it. But remember, it wasn't yesterday or Saturday, but before that, there was like March 14th or something. There was a walkout from school. Was that the day? Yeah. Wednesday, March 14th. So you had the students walked out of school. And so the front page news of the Kitsap Herald, which I would show to you, except that we don't have cameras today. Sorry, YouTube not playing, has this article. Democracy at its finest. Student walkout draws attention from socially conscious residents. Then it has a picture of the adults standing on the side of the street because they can't go on school grounds with signs that we're supporting you. I just thought it was fascinating because socially conscious residents went out to support the children, as they protested. Which kind of implies, doesn't it, that the parents who didn't go, the adults who didn't go out to support the kids as they walked out of school, apparently are not socially conscious. We must just be troglodytes or idiots or whatever. Sorry, I'm filling my coffee cup. That's that sound you hear. We must just be, I don't know, bad people because we're not running outside to support the children as they protest by walking out of school. And I thought to myself when I read this, I could get really hyper about this. I could write a letter to the editor. I could post it on Facebook and scream and yell. And I thought, you know what? It's not going to do any good. To these folks who wrote this, to this person who wrote this article, one Nick Tweetmeyer, not making that up, might be Tweetmeyer, T-W-E-I-T-I-E-T, Tweetmeyer. the people who went out to support the kids are socially conscious, and the rest of you are buffoons. The rest of you are old people. The rest of you are fuddy-duddies. The rest of you are curmudgeons. The rest of you are conservatives and probably Christian, too. Because you obviously don't care enough to stop whatever it is important thing you're doing and go out and stand on the sidewalk with a sign supporting students who are walking out of school. And you probably didn't show up on Saturday to carry signs that say, the NRA murdered 17 kids, or whatever, and walk around the mall blocking traffic, including yours truly, from getting to the Y, because now his son wanted to really go to the Y, and that was more important than anything else. You're probably one of those people who's upset by David Hogg's language. Don't be. You'll be surprised at how many kids talk that way. And why are we surprised by that? Because their parents talk that way, folks. Their parents, Hogg's parents, and that generation of parents, the folks kind of behind me, one, and even me to an extent, are direct descendants, ideological descendants of the counterculture movement of the 60s. Why are we surprised by any of this? This is what we set out to create. And guess what? We created it. We created it. And in the fullness of time, we've been given David Hogg. Bleep this, bleep that, bleep you, and do what we say. Give us gun control right now or else. Somehow or another, there you go. I saw one that said, if you're not for us, you're against us. Yeah, I wonder where they got that. Funny thing about things like that, they kind of come back to haunt you sometimes, don't they? Oh, well, what are you going to do? It's half past the hour. It's Plausibly Live, the Dave Bowman Show, right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. No TV today. I apologize profusely for that. But YouTube not cooperating, so we're just not going to be able to do it. We're going to have to stay on the radio side only today, the podcast side only of that. Normally, we're on YouTube. We do have a YouTube channel that you can watch the show on. But I'm kind of happy doing it this way right now. I might just do it this way from now on and say, to heck with YouTube. I don't know. Probably won't, but there you go. We got other things to talk about today. We did expel some diplomats today, although nobody can seriously explain why. And the Houthis, these are a bunch of PLRI lunatics who have managed to get their hands on ballistic missiles. I wonder how that happened. They're firing those off. And, of course, Mad Mike Hughes trying to prove that the Earth is flat. It's Plausibly Live, the Dave Bowman Show. 209-565-DAVE, 565-3283, telephone, well, no telephone, tax machine. Email Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. Stay with us back right after this.
Being around too much loud noise like a leaf blower or rock concert can cause permanent hearing loss. And once it's gone, you can't get it back. Hearing loss is the third most common chronic health condition in the U.S. Almost twice as many people report hearing loss as diabetes or cancer. The louder a sound is, and the longer you're exposed to it, the more likely it will damage your hearing. Repeated exposure to noise can cause stress, anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, heart disease, and many other problems. Hearing loss from loud noise at home and in the community can be prevented. Avoid noisy places. Use earplugs, protective earmuffs, or noise-canceling headphones when near loud noises. Keep the volume down when watching TV or listening to music and using earbuds or headphones. Get your hearing checked and ask your healthcare provider how to protect your hearing from noise. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/vital signs. In the U.S., about 90 people die in motor vehicle crashes each day, and thousands more are injured, resulting in hundreds of millions of dollars in direct medical costs each year. One in three crash deaths involves drunk driving. Almost one in three involves speeding. And half of those who died were not buckled up. Even though we've made progress in the U.S., other high-income countries have lower motor vehicle crash death rates. We can and must do better. Here's what you can do. Use a seatbelt in every seat, on every trip, no matter how short. Make sure children are always properly buckled in the back seat, in a car seat, booster seat, or seatbelt, whichever is appropriate for their age, height, and weight. Never drive while impaired by alcohol or drugs, and help others do the same. Obey speed limits and drive without distractions. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/vital signs.
Hey, this is YD from the Ale Evangelist Show, and you're listening to the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
It took him like 20 takes to get that down. 565 Dave, area code 209-565-3283 is the text machine. Email Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. And of course, we're on the web. Just look for The Dave Bowman Show on Facebook, Twitter, and the normal web. Welcome back. Tis I, Dave, on a Monday morning. It is raining here. I don't know about where you're at, but here in the beautiful town of Silverdale, up on the ridge, it is coming down pretty hard right now. It's kind of nice. Some days I think I should just sit here and listen to the rain all day, and that would be, I don't know, I wouldn't get much done if that were to happen. We expelled 60 diplomats today, I guess. I was reading the news. We expelled 60 diplomats, Russians, in retaliation for the poisoning death of a Russian defector, I guess, over in England, as I understand it. We also closed the Russian Seattle consulate. I always get suspicious of that whenever that happens. Usually when you're, it's not quite as what it was when in the old Soviet days. In the old Soviet days, if you expelled diplomats, you pretty much knew there was something else happening that they're trying to cover up because of the nationalistic approach of expelling people. Oh my God, spies! We're expelling spies! So, in those days, when you expelled diplomats, it was because they wanted to cover up something else. I don't have a clue what it is this time. Is it the Stormy Daniels thing? Are they trying to detract from the Stormy Daniels story? I gather. I don't watch 60 Minutes. I haven't watched 60 Minutes in 30 years. I've watched a couple of segments of 60 Minutes that were of interest to me, but beyond that, no. Was it an attempt to distract from the Stormy Daniels story? No. The Stormy Daniels story, as I understand it, detracted from itself. All the headlines this morning are complaints about, she didn't tell us anything we didn't already know. She did. They watched a Shark Week documentary, which of course pleases me greatly. It really does. But somehow, I don't know, man. I mean, I've made Cammie watch more than a few Shark Week documentaries, but I never considered that foreplay. I guess maybe they did. I don't know. Or more, maybe pillow talk. I don't know. All I know is if that's the big news, that Trump made her watch a Shark Week documentary, I just don't think that qualifies as anything that I care about, other than the fact that I like sharks. And I do like sharks. So yesterday, around midday our time, the breaking news out of Saudi Arabia was that Riyadh and King Khalid Airport, International Airfield, were under attack by ballistic missiles. Now, this caught my eye because it's something of a misnomer. All missile rocket attacks are ballistic. I mean, that's what they are. They follow a ballistic arch. They go up, powered, engine cuts out, and then they fall where they're aimed to go based on direction and how much engine power they used and so forth and so on. So they're all ballistic. So every time I see that over there, I kind of go, okay. But then the story started fleshing out a bit, and it turned out to be Burkhan 2 ballistic missiles. Now, these are mobile, medium-range ballistic missiles that are being fired from Yemen, which is one of the famous SH countries of the Arabian Peninsula. into Saudi Arabia, which is also a PLRI country, peace-loving religion of Islam country. But as it turns out, the people firing the missiles are a group called the Houthis. Have you ever heard of them? The Houthis are, what's the word I'm looking for? I believe they are Shiite or Shia. I get this mixed up all the time, so let me look this up right. Yeah, they're predominantly Shia-led, although they include some Sunnis, whereas, of course, the Saudis are Sunnis. And much like Ireland back in the 60s and 70s, this is a problem because, like Catholics and Protestants not getting along for whatever reason, the Sunnis and Shias don't get along either. See, we tend to think in the West as of Islam as this homogenous group of lunatics, for the most part, who are hell-bent on converting the world to their point of view. Of course, nothing is further from the truth. Most Islamics, most Muslims, are in fact not lunatics. Many of them are peace-loving people who just want to get along by like everybody else. But there's a billion of them worldwide, and that means that even if 1% are quote-unquote radical, and the number's higher than that, you kind of got an issue. Particularly when you have people who don't have anything to lose because they live in, well, shithole countries. And so fomenting revolution and causing and creating anger and militant action are kind of second nature to them. Whether you're talking about Gaza or Yemen really isn't a matter of location as much as it is just as the economic conditions and the mentalities that have set in. So this Houthi group is, like I said, they're Shia, which of course means that they're aligned with Iran, which hates Saudi Arabia because the Iranians, again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on a history lesson here, but Iranians are not Arab. We don't make this connection often, but the Iranians are not Arabs. They are, in fact, Aryans. Hence the name Iran. That's what it means in their language, is Aryan. They don't have a lot of regard for the Arabs to begin with. And the fact that the Iranians are Shia Muslims and the Arabs, particularly of the Saudi variety, are Sunni, this creates a great deal of tension. This creates a great deal of conflict, especially since the Sunnis, the Saudis, control the holy places of Islam, which the Iranians, the Shias, would like to control, and because of their similarities in their faiths, they hold the same places as holy. And of course, the five pillars of Islam, one of which is to make the pilgrimage, and so these Shia Islamics have to go to the Sunni territory and prostrate themselves to get in, or whatever they feel like they have to do to get in order to worship or make their pilgrimage and complete one of their pillars. And so it is not unusual then for Iran to support groups like the Houthi, who are hostile to the Saudis for any number of reasons, including the Sunni-Shia split. But now somehow or another, these Houthis have gotten their hands on Burkhan 2, medium-range ballistic missiles based on the Scud family. Now, you'll remember the Scuds, right? You all remember the Scuds of the first Gulf War and how Saddam Hussein was firing off Scuds from mobile launchers and creating quite a problem. And, of course, the bigger problem, what a lot of people didn't realize, was the Scud is capable of carrying weapons of mass destruction, however you want to define that. If you want to define that as nuclear weapons, fine. If you want to define that as chemical or biological, fine. It was capable of carrying those weapons. And because of its nature, much like the V-2 rockets of World War II, it's not highly accurate. And so it becomes something of a terror weapon in the sense that you just send it up and hope it comes down in the general area of your target and detonates and creates, if it's got all kinds of high explosives, it creates, you know, a big bang. If it has something else in it, it creates other problems. And so That's what you want. The Burkhan 2H is a member of the Scud family. It's been identified as being based on the Iranian Qiyam-1, Shahab-2, and Scud-D. All of these missiles. So how does a group, the Houthi, who for all practical purposes have been, well, we thought that they had pretty much been eradicated. I mean, they're allied with Iran. They are, believe it or not, anti-Al-Qaeda and Islamic State. The Islamic State is one of their enemies. They are allied with Iran, Syria, and lo and behold, North Korea, of all people. How did they get their hands on what are essentially are nuclear missiles, capable of missiles? By the way, their flag has writing on it, because that's what these groups do. You want to know what the writing on the Houthi flag says? It's modeled after the revolutionary Iran flag, which read death to the U.S. and death to Israel. So their flag reads, Allahu Akbar, the God is great, death to America, death to Israel, curse on the Jews, victory to Islam. Those are some fun guys, huh? Anyway, I'm laughing, but it's crazy because these people have ballistic missiles. They have Scuds, mobile launchers. Not only do they have mobile launchers, folks, but if you think about this for just a moment, all right, these aren't the kinds of missiles that you just drive out on a truck somewhere, you set it up, fire it off, and then go somewhere else. There's more to it than this. These things are liquid fueled, meaning you got to have a truck to carry the fuel and the oxidizer out there to load, and you got to load it in. You can't drive these things around. You can't move them around fueled. Boy, if you did that and you happen to hit a bump or something just wrong, who knows? So you got to take them to where you're going to go. You got to erect it, which means, you know, put it straight up in the air, fuel it, target it, and then fire it off. It's not a quick process, which is why during the first Gulf War, we were so successful at taking out the Scuds before they could be launched, because it took time to get them ready to fire. And of course, we had people constantly out looking for them. We had airplanes constantly looking down, the E-2 Hawkeyes and the AWACS and stuff like that. They were looking for them all the time. Oh, look, there's a truck that just stopped out in the middle of nowhere. I wonder why. Hit it. Well, apparently nobody's doing that with these Houthis out in the desert wastes of southern Arabian Peninsula. And they were able to launch a bunch of these missiles yesterday. The Saudis claim to have shot down 7, but I have seen videos of what appear to be at least 2 of them landing. Now, whether those landings were of the Burkhan 2s or whether they were Patriot missiles that came back is unclear to me. One of them appears to be a Patriot that is fired, loops around, and comes back down. But it's hard to tell because, again, it's amateur video. It's night. All you're seeing are lights moving which way and moving this way and moving that way. And then at the end of the day, you don't really know what they are. You can't really tell. The bigger question in my mind is the Houthi were supposed to have been basically defeated. The Houthi were basically the war in Yemen, which the Saudis have been prosecuting probably in violation of Geneva Convention and certainly of international law for some time, was supposed to be just about winding down, as I understood things. The Yemeni revolution was pretty well done. Obviously, I'm not up to speed on this as much as I should be, but somehow or another, this revolutionary group, this anti-Saudi group, got a hold of ballistic missiles, and American-made patriots were engaged with these last night, yesterday, in over King Khalid Airport and Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. Should this cause us any concern? Is this the kind of thing we look at and we go, well, now what the hell do we do? Most people on the libertarian right, what I call the libertarian right, do not like Saudi Arabia. They look at Saudi Arabia as not our friend, After all, the 19 hijackers, what, they were all from Saudi Arabia, right? Osama bin Laden was a Saudi. The Saudis, not our friends. They do things that we don't approve of. But now you've got the other group we don't approve of, the Iranians, with whom we were once great friends, are befriending this group that is on the extreme fringe of things by giving them ballistic missiles. How long is it until they start giving them warheads that are more than just explosives? It just comes down to, you know, there's an old Arab proverb, my enemy's enemy is my friend. But is that the case here? Do we look at this and go, yeah, go Saudis, get those guys? Or do we, as libertarians, hardcore libertarians, look at it and go, well, we hate the Saudis. It's best that they all keep fighting. Or do we protest Saudi Arabia's blockade of Yemen, which is apparently having a major effect on families and civilians in Yemen? How many of us even know that any of this is going on? I was into it, again, it caught my attention yesterday because of the ballistic missile angle of it. My Twitter is set to go. If the term ballistic missile shows up trending, it's something that I pay attention to because it's something that I'm familiar with and interested in, and it attracts my attention. But I'm not closely following the civil war in Yemen and the issues between Saudi Arabia and Yemen. Perhaps I should be. Perhaps I should be paying more attention to it. And at the end of the day, what are we going to do about it? At the end of the day, do you ask yourself this question? A radical group is firing off missiles that could be equipped with weapons of mass destruction, weapons that we legitimately concerned ourselves with back in 1991 during the first Gulf War. Weapons that are classified as medium-range ballistic missiles. Remember that it was medium-ranged and intermediate-range ballistic missiles placed in Western Europe and in Turkey that caused a lot of brouhaha with the Soviets back in the 70s and into the early 80s. That's the kind of weapons we're talking about here. But the headline on 60 Minutes last night was not potentially nuclear-armed missiles in Yemen. It was Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump watched Shark Week after having sex 11 years ago. Is it any wonder that we're paying more attention to David Hogg and his F-words than we are actual events that might mean something? Is it any wonder our people are so uneducated that they don't understand the concept of what is a fundamental right, what's a constitutional right, what regulation actually does, than anything else? Those are the things that bother me and make me think and make me sit back and go, what's going on here? Why aren't we paying attention to this? But we'd rather complain about David Hogg's mouth. David Hogg's, he's bad. He says bad words. His parents must not be proud of him. Really? I think I've shown his parents are, in fact, proud of him. His parents don't really care. This is exactly what his parents want him to be. But in the meantime, the Houthis are throwing missiles, and the collective response of America is to go, who's? Sorry, I'm trying to make myself yawn, and it's not working. That happens sometimes. Speaking of making me laugh, Mad Mike Hughes. So this is the guy that actually, he claims to be a self-taught scientist. That's what he says. I'm a scientist, taught myself to be a scientist. I'm good to go. Right? This is a guy who insists that the world is flat. I don't really know anything about old Mad Mike Hughes. I didn't even bother to look up his Wikipedia page, mostly because, much like David Hogg's Wikipedia page, I'm sure that it would not contain anything of value in it. And it doesn't even look like he has a Wicca. Oh, Mike Hughes, Daredevil. Flat Earth Rocket. There he is. Biography. He lives in California where he makes $15 an hour plus tips as a limo driver. 2002, he set a Guinness World Record with a 103-foot jump off a Lincoln Town Car Stretch limo. What? He set a Guinness World Record with a 103-foot jump off a Lincoln Town Car Stretch limo. I have no idea what the hell that means. He built his first manned rocket in 2014, flew 1,300 feet in just over 1 minute. He collapsed after landing, and it took him 3 days to recover. He stated that the injuries suffered in flight put him in a walker for 2 weeks. Anyway, he's also going to run for governor of California. He believes that the Earth is flat. His 2016 attempt to raise funds for a rocket to prove that the Earth was flat raised only $310. Who are these people that gave this man $310? He converted to believing in a flat Earth later that year, gained the support of the flat Earth community. Does he really believe that, or does he just tell them that so that he can get their money? Anyway, his post-flat Earth fundraising campaign made it $7,875 goal. Imagine that. Before he says he believes in flat Earth, he can't raise money. Afterwards, he says, I believe in flat Earth, he raises money. This is like a politician, folks. Oh, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. Can't raise any money. Oh, I believe in that. Money, 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 money. He learned. He claimed in November of last year that the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, had given him verbal permission more than a year ago to launch his rocket. I doubt that. BLM spokesman said they didn't have any record of speaking to this guy. BLM reached out to him. The rocket launch was originally scheduled for last year. It didn't happen. Anyway, he launched over the weekend, reached a record height. Well, not a record height, but reached a right height of 572 meters, 1,875 feet, made a hard landing, He had launched at a sharp angle to avoid landing on public land, landed about 1,500 feet away from the launching point. So 1,800 feet up, distance of 1,500 feet, maximum speed of 350 miles an hour. And this says that he reported no injuries. However, you know, I heard he was hospitalized. The first record said he was hospitalized. Didn't Alex say he was hospitalized? All of this to try to prove that the Earth is flat. Could just send up a balloon with a camera, could go up in an airplane, could do any number of things, but this rocket stunt, this steam-powered rocket stunt, which, by the way, is the same kind of steam-powered rocket that Evel Knievel used back in 70... What year was that? Six? I don't remember what year it was, but Evel Knievel tried this. Remember, he was going to jump the Snake River Canyon. Evel Knievel steam rocket. He was going to jump the Snake River Canyon, April 15th, 1972. No, that was just a test. Anyway, back in the early 70s, he was going to try this. And of course, it didn't work. All that buildup, all that. It was like, man, we loved Evel Knievel as a kid. We really did. When kids in the 70s, we loved this guy. Mostly we loved him because he was such a colossal screw up at everything. When did he ever successfully pull anything off? I know he did, but you never saw that on TV. You never saw that on the wide world of sports. You never saw that, you know, in the trailers. Everything you ever saw was him crashing and breaking things. And anyway, when did they do this? September 8th, 1974. Steam-powered rocket, temperature 500 degrees. But as he took off, the drogue parachute, quote-unquote, prematurely deployed. Most of us believe that was on purpose. And yeah, we watched it on Wide World of Sports. That's right. It was live, wasn't it? Buster's in the chat room. I'm pretty sure that was live. That was back in the era when live TV was kind of, it was sitcoms and stuff like this. But I remember this being live. I remember us sitting there watching and you know, just kind of, anyway, he was going to do this and the drogue chute accidentally deployed, and so he didn't make it. He just kind of killed his steam. It's from Butte, Montana. Yeah, that's and you know, everybody loved him. Everybody thought he was crazy. Everybody thought he was cool, but at the same time, it was like, well, Anyway, Mad Mike decided to try this, use the same kind of equipment, steam-powered rocket, which doesn't make any sense to me when you're trying to get high enough to see that the Earth is not flat. But it's intriguing. I came across an interesting article this weekend from Michael Shermer, the editor of Skeptic Magazine, is talking about why do people believe that the Earth is flat? Well, in Mad Mike's case, it's pretty clear that the reason that he believes it's flat is because otherwise he couldn't have raised any money. I don't know if Mad Mike really believes that or if he just wanted to make so much money that, you know, I'll believe anything if you'll give me money. What's that line from? If there's money in it, I'll believe anything. Oh, it's Winston in Ghostbusters, right? If there's a paycheck in it, I'll believe anything. That's Mad Mike. But for most of these people who believe that the Earth is flat, it really is. It's almost a religious belief. It has to be. Because do you understand, as Michael Shermer pointed out, in order for the Earth to actually be flat, there has to be a creator. You understand that? There has to be a deity creating and controlling things, because if there isn't, there's no way nature comes up with a flat disk planet. It can't happen. And so it gives strength and comfort to those who believe that the Earth is flat, because they have to believe then in a creator. And that's what it does. That's how it functions for them. That's what it does and gives them comfort with and takes care of. Anyway, Mad Mike is back on Earth, and as far as he's concerned, as long as he can still raise money, it's still flat, right? That's the way he probably sees it. All right, that wraps up a Monday. Probably going to have some recorded shows later in the week just because of the way things are going to work out schedule-wise, but we'll let you know tomorrow what's happening there. Got to get running. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there, so don't pass up those opportunities. You do not want to have that regret. I'm Dave Bowman, Plasma Live. This has been the Dave Bowman Show right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody, at 10 a.m. for another episode of Plasma Live. Have a great day.
Plausibly Live is a Slippery Fish entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Network. To contact Dave directly, call or text area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 209-565-3283. The email address is dave@thedavebowmanshow.com. For more information or to hear past shows, go to www.plausiblylive.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.